With state and local campgrounds closing by the hour, where can RVers camp during the coronavirus crisis?
All the private parks are open, unless they're being forced to close for, you know, local reasons. They're open and they're actually doing relatively well. So there's only been a few cancellations, you know, each park maybe one or two because of the coronavirus. But that's actually being flipped over by folks, you know, like myself, that's a full-time RVer. You know, we're going to have to go to ground, right? We're going to have to find a home base for at least 2 weeks, you know, probably longer, where we can stay safe. And so we're starting to see those folks go into these RV parks. So the RV parks are open.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. This one, number 286, and it is coming to you during a time of great confusion in all of North America, but particularly for RVers who may be on the road wondering where to stay. We're going to talk about that in our interview of the week coming up. We've got lots of coronavirus news as it affects RVers and campers. And we've got some RV questions and tips and lots more to talk about. And this very interesting week that we've all been through. Thank you for tuning in. This is episode 286 of the RV Podcast. And we are delighted to have you with us. Joining me right now is my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. What a week it has been, my dear.
And what a week coming it will be.
Yes, I think you're probably right. I mean, a week ago, we were talking about this in rather vague, maybe this thing is going to cause some confusion, a little disruption. But look what happened between episode 285 and 286. In that week's period, many state parks, among them New Mexico, which is usually very popular this time of year with folks heading out on their first trips of the year, or snowbirds perhaps finally starting to move out from their warmer weather locations. North Carolina, Illinois. As we record this on the 17th of March, today all 175 Florida state parks and their campgrounds, as well as many local parks in many other parts of the country, all been closed to camping because of the coronavirus.
Schools, bars, restaurants, movie theaters, and businesses are shut down or have limited services pretty much nationwide. People are urged to stay home, indoors, and practice social distancing. Some places have total lockdowns. Further restrictions are threatened, and leaders are urging people to postpone all discretionary travel, which would obviously include RVing.
There are hundreds of thousands of RVers already on the road. Where can they stay until this immediate crisis has passed? In our interview of the week, we're going to talk about that with an industry expert, but even though the information that we're giving you is current as we record this podcast on Tuesday, the 17th of March, everything is changing daily and sometimes hourly.
So our best advice to you right now is stay where you are, or if you must, try to find a private campground and then stay there.
We are in our condo on Okaloosa Island along the Florida Panhandle's Emerald Coast, and it has been relatively normal down here. I mean, yesterday we were on the beach and the airplanes were towing banner signs behind them for beachgoers, promoting the world's largest St. Patrick's Day party at a Irish bar not too far away from here. Spring breakers are down here. That was yesterday. This morning, the governor of Florida came on and, like in many other parts of the country, ordered all bars and taverns and restaurants closed. Restaurants can stay open if they do takeout or if they limit the seating capacity. But it's just crazy. Like many of you, we had travel plans. We were supposed this week to be speaking at the RV Entrepreneur Summit up in Lake Gunderson, Alabama. We've been looking forward to that, like hundreds of other RVers for months now. But like all RV rallies, RV shows around the country and other events, that event has been canceled. It's been moved online, and we'll put a link in the show notes where you can virtually attend the RV Entrepreneur Summit. But it's all online, and the in-person part of it has been canceled.
After that, we were planning to head to Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, but all those plans, as with millions of others, have to be put on hold. So we're just kind of laying low down at the beach, and that's not a bad place to be.
And we're, you know, we're weighing our response daily. I mean, we like the beach, but we also like to be on the move, and there's no indication yet how long this will last. Everybody was talking about 2 weeks, and now we're seeing reports that it'll last until summertime. And we're debating now whether we want to pick up and head back north to our Michigan home. So it's nice to be in the warm Florida sunshine, but I get pretty antsy staying someplace for 2 or 3 months, and I think a lot of people are feeling the same way. So bottom line is we don't know where you are, but we do know that we are all in this together. It will end just as it began, and we will do our best to stay in touch with you via social media as much as possible. And we will, as we did last week, we will use our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube to do live reports and updates about the coronavirus and its effect on RVing. We'll do that on a weekly basis, sometimes a couple of times a week if situations warrant. If there's a lot of questions that we're getting from people that we think are of interest to everybody, we'll go on YouTube. So the best way for you to know when we have a new update, because it's impossible, we put it out on social media and stuff, but the best way is for you to be a subscriber to our RV Lifestyle channel. And you do that by just going to YouTube and looking for RV Lifestyle. When you see us come up, subscribe. There's a little bell icon. Many of you know this, but if you're not familiar with YouTube, you may not. There's a little bell icon. So after you subscribe, when you click the bell icon, that then will notify you when we are going on live, we have an update, and it's a great way for you to stay in touch with what's happening. And we will try and do that a couple of times a week. But I don't have a set schedule other than our normal Sunday night. Ask us anything. We'll try and do those as we figure this all out together. But let's stay in touch. And like I said, we are all in this together.
Well, as Mike said, we will get through this, and it's our hope that as we follow our government's recommendations to lay low and practice social distancing, this will all pass and life will quickly get back to normal. So hang in there, everybody.
Now, this part of the podcast is brought to you by the Nimble Pet Monitor 4G, and that is the surest way we know to have peace of mind about what the temperature for your pets back in the RV is, making sure it's not too high. We have a special discount for listeners of the RV podcast available. And if you go to rvlifestyle.com/nimble, that's rvlifestyle.com/nimble, N-I-M-B-L-E, you'll be able to get a really great discount on it. But it's really a comfort when you have to leave your pet in your RV. Maybe you're going out to dinner or you're going to do a quick tour of a museum or something. You're always wondering, is it safe in there? I know I've got the air conditioner on, but how do I make sure it's okay? Well, that's where the Pet Monitor 4G from Nimble comes in, because it monitors your RV's internal temperature, and then it will alert you the moment it is unsafe for your pet or it exceeds a temperature that you set. It will alert you by your phone, and it'll send you a text message. And just if you're worried, you can call it up at any time and get an instant live reading of the temperature inside. Works on the Verizon 4G cellular network, so you don't have to worry about signal loss wherever you travel across the country. And they have monthly or annual plans that you can subscribe to, but it gives you peace of mind with your pet, and that's a real value. Go to rvlifestyle.com/nimble, and you'll find out how you can save $70. Off the Pet Monitor 4G.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. travel news, inside information, and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV News of the Week.
If you are planning to move into a new campground anytime soon, be sure to call ahead to make sure it's not closed because of the coronavirus. State-run campgrounds in New Mexico, Florida, Illinois, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, all have closed because of the coronavirus concerns. Many tourist destinations are also closing. The changes are numerous.
And it would be pretty hard for us to give you an updated list, but we will put a link to a great service that kind of tracks them all for you, and that'll be in our show notes. If you go to rvlifestyle.com/286 and scroll down the News of the Week, and you'll find it. Last week, we told you about how the coronavirus was the reason Japan was experiencing a surge in campground reservations. Well, that's now happening here in North America, in California in particular, in some of the western states. As the virus spreads, many are leaving their neighborhoods and heading to the outdoors. One campground owner in California said people are trying to avoid airports and cities and are turning to, in the last few days, to camping. So stay tuned. In our interview of the week, we'll talk much more about that. But that's how many people are deciding that they'll go social distance in an RV in a campground somewhere.
The Washington Monument has closed because of the coronavirus concerns. And a maple sugar harvesting event was canceled at the Indiana Dunes National Park. But otherwise, things are generally going on as normal as of this writing at the nation's national parks. But the way things are changing so quickly, it wouldn't surprise me if we see certain things temporarily closed in the weeks ahead. So far, all is open, but if you have any doubt, call ahead.
Now, many of the national parks' visitor centers have closed, and I've read some talk on some of the groups I follow that national park on-the-ground folks at each of the parks are, many of them are urging the National Park Service to do a closure of even of all parts of the camp. That hasn't happened yet, but before you make a plan and drive halfway across the country, get in touch with this and follow it. Get onto the National Park Service sites and make sure that everything is still open because things, as we say, change daily. Away from the coronavirus for a while, that spring, strong winds that may have been a tornado struck Highway 285 RV park in Texas last weekend, injuring one person. That park, which is near the New Mexico state line, was pretty much destroyed. Pickup trucks were flipped over, slides ripped out of RVs, and many lives turned upside down. Witnesses said the RV park was the only place hit by the winds. They suspect a tornado.
And one final story for those of you in the Southwest. The rattlesnakes are waking up.
Ooh.
As spring temperatures have been rising into the 80s and above, the snakes are slithering out of their winter dens. At least two people have been bitten while hiking on trails in Arizona. A woman hiking Gateway Trail in Scottsdale had to be rescued when a snake bit her on Tuesday morning. She was alert and responsive before she was taken to a hospital. And over the weekend, crews helped a 77-year-old man from another hiking trail near Phoenix and took him to a hospital after he was bitten. Both survived, but the lesson for all of us is look down when hiking in snake country, which is all over the West and Southwest. And if you see a snake, back away and give it plenty of room to slither away.
Now, we were just out there, and it was still pretty cold at night, so the snakes weren't active, but that was kind of, I still was looking down, weren't you?
I was looking down, and I was glad we didn't have our dog.
Yeah, because it's good. There are places that give your dogs snake training, and if you live in the Southwest, that's something you want to do, and there are also injections that you can give your dog, anti-venom protection, really, like a vaccine for snake country. And a lot of people do that all throughout the South, where there's a lot of copperheads and rattlers, and certainly the Southwest. All right, that's the news for this week. And the News of the Week always brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand. One of the reasons why is, of course, quality. The other is they offer direct-to-consumer pricing which means you can buy your Rad Power bike at about half the cost of a comparable bike on the market. And Rad Power Bike makes powerful premium electric bikes, many different models. All of them will fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. There's fat tire versions, mountain type versions, beach cruisers, step through units, fold up versions. All of them reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. You can utilize five different levels of pedal assist to get that extra added boost whenever you want, or you can just leave it on all the time. You can go between 20 and 40 miles. And the thing about Rad Power Bikes that is so awesome is they ship them free. Very easy to assemble. You're up and riding in just a couple of hours at the most. That's after you do put a final charge on the battery. They're priced, as I said, often half the cost of comparable bikes. And they're made in the USA. Mention RV Lifestyle at checkout. You'll get an additional $75 off. And again, free shipping on all of these. Use that coupon code RVLifestyle for an additional $75 off. Visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this one comes to us via Nicholas, via email, and he says, we're hoping to buy an RV in the next couple of months. What percent off of the sticker price should I expect? And that's a pretty hard question to answer.
That is a very hard question to answer.
They're not like, it's not like buying a car where, you know, it used to be you do the back and forth with the salesperson. You know, the prices are pretty well set. Now, where they might dicker a little bit with you is some of the options that you want. But to answer that, you know, it depends. Are you buying one off the lot? You'll get a much better deal if you're buying one from their inventory because, you know, they want to sell that. If you're ordering one, you're not going to get anywhere near that deal because the money really doesn't come through for, you know, if you're buying some of the models, it takes a year to get them built and ready. So, you know, you'll get usually something off or they'll throw something in, but it is a seller's market when it comes, particularly to smaller motorhomes. I don't know what you're looking for, what kind of an RV, but in general, the best advice is buy from inventory, existing inventory, and you will get a pretty good price usually, right?
That's true.
All right, this is from Angel. I'm interested in taking some drone video and was wondering if you could share what type of drone you utilize. I have the Mavic Air, which is a very small little drone. It's not very big at all. I can actually carry it around in my pocket sometimes and really enjoy it. It's very good. But I got to tell you, I'm doing less drone footage now. The FAA is about ready to come up with some more regulations about those who are hobby flyers, as many of us are. Some people don't like drones. Many state parks now have joined all national parks, which prohibit drones from going up. We just were in the Everglades, and I would have loved to take in some drone photos of the Glades to show how big it was, but no, you can't do it. Many beaches, you know, state park beaches, they won't let you put it up. So I do like the drone. It's a lot of fun, but you have to be very careful where you fly it, and you now have to register them all, and there's some new regulations that will make it even a little more difficult to fly. This from Mark and Kathy. I see you guys are on the Emerald Coast, and I recall you promising a Sunday meetup this month. When and where? We'll be there. That's not going to happen.
I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, we'd love to, Mark. We did one. We did a couple of them over the last month. And then as this coronavirus and social distancing recommendations came, we decided that we were going to postpone all of our meet and greets. We love doing the meetups, but it's just not a good time to do that. And we are not, most of the RV shows are canceled around the country, so we're not going to any of those. But, you know, you're doing fist bumps and elbow bumps instead of handshakes, and we're urged to stay some distance. So we have not that we wouldn't love it. We'd love to hook up with everybody and meet you and hang out. It's so much fun. We love those meetups, but none here because of all of the changes and the recommendations. And it's pretty crazy times out there, and it's sad not to be able to connect like we'd like to.
Yeah, maybe in the fall.
Yep.
Hopefully everything's going to settle down.
Or this summer. Mm-hmm. You know, let's be optimistic.
Yes.
You know, I know the latest advice from the president was give us, you know, 15 days to curtail this thing, to reduce it, to make that curve less sharp. So we're a couple of days into that, and we'll reassess everything after a couple of weeks. But for now, our meetups are canceled, along with most everything else that has to do with any kind of a gathering. Hey, do you have a question? Would you like us to answer it? Or you have a comment you want to share? Well, we invite you to be a guest on the podcast itself. Here's how to do it.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number. 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
Well, as we look forward to things getting back to normal again, and whatever kind of a camping season we end up with this year, many people are looking at what they can do to fix up their RVs, make them a little more usable. And one of the things that everybody's looking at is lithium batteries, reliable lithium batteries that charge faster, they charge fuller, they're longer lasting, they're maintenance free, and the lithium battery of choice by most RVers these days is Battle Born batteries. The experts at Battle Born can help you up. No matter what kind of an RV you have, they can help you fit it with lithium. Usually it's just a drop-in replacement to whatever is in there, but just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. And you can start the check right there. RVLifestyle.com/lithium. It'll connect you with Battle Born and tell them what you have, what you're looking for. They're experts in all different types of RVs and what kind of stuff you got to hook up to get those lithium batteries in. They can match it with, you know, the right cabling, inverter, charger, solar controller, whatever. Jennifer and I have Battle Born in our RV, and we love it. We are just thrilled because it gives us that off-the-grid capability that we like. We are boondockers at heart. You check them out. Again, we want you to go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. That's rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Uncertainty continues to abound as the nation copes with this unprecedented coronavirus crisis. For RVers, the issue has been even doubly confusing because many state campgrounds have either limited or some, like New Mexico, have entirely shut down their campgrounds to camping. What about regular campgrounds? We're going to be joined in this podcast and YouTube interview by Mark Kep. Mark runs campgroundviews.com. It's a website that has video views of almost all the campgrounds across North America. And Mark works very closely with hundreds of campground owners, and he has been in great touch with them during this coronavirus scare. So what effect does this have if you're thinking about an RV trip you have coming out? If you're living in an area that you would like to truly get away from to practice social distancing? We're going to talk about all of that stuff and some advice for those who have trips planned over the next several weeks. Should you go? Shouldn't you go? What about plans for this summer? I'm going to talk about all of this as meet with Mark Kep of campgroundviews.com. Well, joining us now from his RV in, I think you're in Arizona, are you not?
Yeah, I'm in Mesa, Arizona right now.
Is Mark Kep and from campgroundviews.com. And Mark, as we said at the top of this, this situation is fluid, it's changing not just daily, but almost hourly. But at last check, one of the concerns that many RVers certainly have is what happens to their RV travel plans. We know now that a number of states have closed campgrounds. The worry, of course, is other campgrounds may follow suit. What are you hearing from other campgrounds that are part of your network?
So, yeah, and thank you, Mike, for having me on, first off, and thank you for doing what you're doing, spreading the word out there. You do such a great job, so I appreciate it. We talk to a lot of campground owners. We actually run an organization that engages with 1,700 park owners, RV park owners around the U.S., and all the private parks are open, unless they're being forced to close for, you know, local reasons. They're open, and they're actually doing relatively well. So there's only been a few cancellations, you know, each park maybe one or two because of the coronavirus. But that's actually being flipped over by folks, you know, like myself, that's a full-time RVer. You know, we're going to have to go to ground, right? We're going to have to find a home base for at least 2 weeks, you know, probably longer, where we can stay safe. And so we're starting to see those folks go into these RV parks. So the RV parks are open. They're ready for guests. And in my humble opinion, it's actually a good spot to be, you know, if you're having, you know, community spread, because you can isolate yourself within an RV and be relatively comfortable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think everything we're hearing is that in terms of social isolation, social distancing, it's pretty good to be in an RV. The concern I think that first folks have is state campgrounds. Many of the state campgrounds have closed. And then the other worry is the concern about certain travel restrictions in various parts of the country. What's are the campground owners' advice to folks who are thinking about moving from place to place? You mentioned hunkering down for a while. Give us some thoughts and some guidance that people can use in making.
So I've been following this overall vibe, you know, so I'll give you background, right? My business provides marketing services to campgrounds. So I actually have a professional duty to understand what's going to impact them from a marketing standpoint, getting guests into their park. So I've been following this virus for a while, actually since around December, and I've been watching it, you know, with some concern, and the concern's obviously grown recently as it's kind of ramped up here in the U.S. But my real concern spiked when this last Wednesday I traveled to Southern California from Arizona. I drove the 10, you know, into the LA basin, and I arrived at the 10 and the 210 at 4 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon, which is normally rush hour traffic. I drove across the LA basin from San Bernardino to Ventura County at 70 miles an hour the entire way from 4 to 5:30 in the middle of the day on a Wednesday afternoon. The second I saw that, I realized that the real virus that we're facing is not the coronavirus, it's the fear virus. People have panicked. They, you know, we're beyond the point of them potentially panicking. They panicked. They've reacted by staying home, isolating, not traveling. And so where that's going to have an impact is in the service economy. So we're already seeing the amusement parks are closed. Restaurants, you're going to start seeing restaurants shut down. You're going to see those type of businesses directly impacted. And so how do we adapt to that as RVers? We got to recognize that a lot of us RVers, we're kind of a just-in-time business, right? We don't have mass storage in our RV to store a month's worth of food supplies. So we tend to rely upon this just-in-time system. So as an RVer, you know, and as a full-time RVer with a newborn baby, I might add, I need to look at this on a personal note and say, okay, what can I do to make sure that I'm secure over the next few weeks? And let's say everything is fine. Great, everything's fine. But let's assume everything is not fine. I need to plan accordingly. So what we're doing is we actually are hitting the road tomorrow, which would be Sunday, and we're going to go stay at my brother's place for the plan is 6 to 8 weeks. You know, so we've got family close by. I've got my nephews and nieces and nephews there, and it's a place that we can settle down and stay for that time period and actually supply ourselves with food for that duration. So in that same essence, what I'm talking to park owners about is that they can do the same thing for their guests. There's going to come a time let's assume this gets bad, right? Let's assume that it looks like Italy or Spain. Now it's an assumption. Let me throw air quotes. That's an assumption. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But let's assume it goes that route. Where is the best place for you to be with you and your wife, your family, and so forth? I would argue it's probably in an RV, and it's probably in one spot where you can be there for 6 to 8 weeks safely with the same group of people. Because what will happen is when it really starts to break out, people will pull into the RV park. They're going to need to self-isolate for 14 days to make sure they don't have the symptoms. Once that 14 days is up, you can be a closed community. You know nobody has it in there, and you can start engaging with folks. But we're heading down that route. Unfortunately, it's kind of crazy, right? I mean, I listened to your live stream the other day, and it was like, yeah, you're right on the money with where this is going. And then just in 24 hours, you know, we start finding out, and who knows what's going to happen by the time this goes live. But just in the last 24 hours, we had the administration announce that they're advising people to stop all non-necessary travel. That's a pretty big leap to go in 24 hours. it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks.
Well, what we can learn from other places that have done this is that there will be certain hotspots, and we're seeing them develop where you know there's just more people who have the disease than don't, and those are the areas that will be affected. That's why we're recording this a couple of days ahead of time, and we will probably do a revision and make sure everything's correct as we get it to go closer to the podcast date. But the situation, we cannot overemphasize, is very fluid and will be so for some time. But you raised some interesting things in that conversation we just had, Mark, about using an RV park as sort of a containment area for RVers. If you're healthy, hunkering down there, are park owners amenable to this? And that means perhaps changing some of their rate structure so it's a little bit more affordable for people.
Yeah, before I came on live with you, I was actually on live talking to the park owners, and I was advising them exactly that. So, you know, a lot of parks, if you look at our industry, I've actually been doing speeches at the different conferences for park owners talking about how it's literally the best of times to be in this business. I mean, we've seen just massive growth. Lots of people are interested in it. Because of that, they've been using a lot of just-in-time pricing models. So dynamic pricing, variable pricing. They've been utilizing grid optimization. So you would experience this when you check into a park and you want to stay a day longer and they say, sorry, somebody's coming into that site tomorrow, you need to be gone. I'm advising them to start being flexible, because we may come to a situation, you know, in my case, I'm traveling from Phoenix to Southern California. In that travel, I have to stop overnight. So there's a chance I could stop overnight in a park, the plan to leave the next day. And between now and then, something changes that prevents me from being able to leave. And in that case, that park would hopefully be flexible enough to, you know, fit me in a site, you know, allow us to stay there. And so I'm talking to park owners now about that. And the reality is we actually operate and live and work in a very US-based business. And you know, park owners are, they're just like you and I. A lot of park owners are actually RVers too. So they get it, and they're actually thinking ahead. And it's interesting when you talk to RVers, in general, especially full-time RVers, they're independent, free-spirited. You know, we're all kind of like, and I think a lot of people are the same mindset I was, which was, this was a joke, right? This was way overblown. But clearly it's gone beyond just being a joke and overblown, and it's real now. Whether or not the virus is real or not, the fear is real and the panic's real, and so we need to respond accordingly. So park owners are really open to it. In addition to that, and let me add also, if this follows the Chinese route, we're looking for 6 to 8 weeks, right? And then it's going to start to dissipate. Beyond that, that's really when the camping season begins. So personally, I wouldn't start canceling my July trips. You know, I would still keep those in the air. But what I'm advising park owners to do is be flexible with cancellations. Give people an option or a potential out so that they don't have to panic now about their future trips. They can kind of keep that in their bag for after this blows over. And I'll be honest with you, I'm hoping that we shut down for 2 weeks. In about 3 weeks, things start to come together. And by 6 weeks, we're kind of out of this. That's my honest hope. And we'll see where we go.
Well, of course, that is the best case scenario, but yeah, there is no guarantee. I mean, no one could see any of this stuff coming. Now, you talked a little bit about RV parks being a great place to hunker down. And that would, I think, primarily apply to the full-timers. And of the 10 million RVers, maybe only a million are really true full-timers. So that leaves 9 million others. And I think half of them are emailing me. They're asking questions. We've got reservations here in 2 weeks, or we wanted to go here for 3 weeks. Should we go now? And I want to just stress and then get your recommendation as well, is this may not be the time to make that decision. It may be a time to make that decision in a week or two as things become a little clearer. But I think it's not unreasonable for people to realize that maybe your best place to stay for a while is home or near home, or a place where you are assured that you can stay for with adequate supplies. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a few things on that. So what I would encourage is, say you have a booking 2 weeks out, I would contact the parks that you have your bookings at and just say, hey, right now we're planning on continuing with this trip, but that may change because of situations outside of our control. What is your cancellation policy? What is your credit policy? I mean, if you're willing to do that trip 4 weeks from now versus 2 weeks from now, can you push it out a little bit? And another kind of side thing about that is a large number, especially full-time RVers, are, you know, older Americans who may have pre-existing conditions, and everything we're being told is that this disease attacks them first. And my father's a perfect example. He is now 68 years old and he has COPD. And he's adventurous, outgoing. They're planning to leave this next week to drive to Missouri from California, you know, back to Missouri to visit his wife's family. And he asked me, he's like, what do you think I should do? And I said, honestly, Dad, I would say go for it, but that's not what the professionals are saying. The professionals are saying that somebody who has COPD, is of your age, should stay home and not travel anywhere. So my advice to you, Dad, is stay home and do not travel anywhere. And let me caveat that by saying, I want you to travel because I want the businesses to do well. I want our economy to stay good. But at the same time, I need to take a step back, remove myself from this, remove my own personal financial reasons for making sure our industry stays good, and say, the reality is we can get through this if it's 4 to 6 weeks long. If we get a whole bunch of people who get sick at the same time and we see this mass, you know, casualty style event, things would get really bad. So stay safe, stay healthy. I would recommend that you do stay home at least over the next 2 weeks, see where this thing goes, and then plan for that. And again, as we discussed, this could all change between our recording of this and Wednesday. You know, this could change pretty rapidly. So stay informed. Watch out for the crazy news, you know, the news that says everything's burning down and we're all going to die. Start paying attention to the folks who are being a little bit more legit on this. And use some common sense.
And of course, you know, the irony is this is the other email I'm getting is, hey, I got 2 or 3 weeks off work and school. We want to go RVing. And
I'll add. So it was funny because I drove back from California yesterday, and there was actually a lot of, because if you drive the 10 coming from California towards Arizona, you've got Glamis and a lot of off-roading areas. And there was a lot of folks with their motorcycles and their rigs and all their stuff. And I noticed in the back of their truck, they had extra water, extra supplies. Honestly, I think that's what they're doing. They're like, hell, if the world's coming to an end, let's go have a giant party in the desert and spend a few weeks out there. And I think you'll see a lot of folks that have that capability, the boondocking experience, go to those. I mean, why not? If you're in the middle of the desert, you're not going to get sick from anybody. And you're also away from any sort of panic stuff. You know, it's not a bad idea to do.
I've had a lot of people say, hey, we're going to go boondocking to social distancing. My suggestion, though, is be prepared, take extra water, take a lot of extra food, and don't go out there with your normal supplies because we don't know what it's going to be. Well, yeah. Bottom line is, I guess we want to just tell people, hang tight. You know, this is working its way out. There are no firm, hard and firm answers. You've got to make a decision based on your interests. But for the folks that you work with most, the 1,700 RV parks around the country, they're willing to work with RVers. Most of them are all open. And, while there might be a little bit of uncertainty in the next immediate week or so, after that, the big hope is that it's going to work out better.
Yeah. I have plans for this July and August for travel. I'm not canceling those. I mean, again, find out what your cancellation policies are. Keep that in the back of your mind. If we get to July and we're still dealing with this, honestly, we're not going to be worrying about RVing. We're going to be worrying about, you know, the zombie apocalypse by then. And so it's a different conversation altogether. I'll be standing here with a stake and a pitchfork getting ready for, you know, invaders or something like that.
Yeah, that is true. That's exactly that. Mark Kep has been our guest. Campgroundviews.com is his website. And Mark, we should tell people that if they can't go camping, they can go to campgroundviews.com and they can look at campsites, and maybe that'll make them feel good for a couple of days, right?
Yeah, and actually, so one of the things we're going to do, because we're going to be hunkered down also, is we're going to start interviewing these park owners and giving you travel ideas on where you can go. So I know everybody's going to be home kind of planning it out. We're going to be starting to do a few of those videos on YouTube, and I'll share those with you, Mike, and if you can share those with your audience, we'd love it. So if you got a destination you want to learn about, ping us. We'll go find the owners there and hook you up and get you connected with them.
All right. Mark Kep, thank you. It's always a pleasure, Mark. And we'll see you on the road. I know we'll be out there this year. And this is, I think it's still going to be kind of a temporary bump that we all have to get over. And so far, we're getting there. Stay tuned.
Be safe, Mike. Be safe to your audience, too.
Mark Kep, our guest on this episode of the RV Podcast. Well, we recorded that interview over the weekend, and it was all accurate, but there's things to add. For example, we did not know then that rest areas in some states are being closed down.
Pennsylvania, yeah. Right?
Pennsylvania, California has some closed, and I'm sure that will spread. One, you know, the idea is to keep people from being in contact with other people who may have this virus, but remember that if you're traveling, that the rest areas may not be open. And certainly they want to limit exposures in the bathrooms, which are hard to clean. And then you have state workers that have to do that. Now, RVers, you know, you should be all set. Although in the northern states, you know, many of you are still winterized and you have to take some precautions there. How do you use your bathroom facilities in your RV if it's winterized? You have to bring antifreeze and flush with that. So this thing gets more and more complicated as we go. It's certainly going to be some time yet before it shakes out and we know, but hopefully that helped you understand that there are places where you can camp. And for those of you who are full-time on the road, the private campgrounds are apparently on top of this and do have spots available. The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. And Sunshine State RV is where you need to go if you're in the market for a motorhome. Check them out. They've got small motorhomes like no other dealer really anywhere in North America. They have the largest inventory of used Class B, Class C motorhomes. Plus, they have a full lineup of all the most popular brands for brand new things like the Winnebago Travato, the Era, the Coachman Beyond, the Coachman Galleria, the American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC. If you're looking for a small motorhome, you want to check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com. And you can go online to their website. You can see what they have in stock. They have a bunch of them. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right, we're going to check in with a fun travel report with our friends Tom and Patty Burkett. Now, normally, they're traveling all over North America finding all sorts of great stuff, but they had a personal vacation that they did overseas not long ago, and sure enough, you found the Burketts off the beaten path.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. Almost all our reports are from RV travel here in North America, but we'd like to share an off-the-beaten-path story from a trip we recently took to the Eastern European nation of Bulgaria. For the most part, Bulgaria is off the tourist maps, and that's one reason we went there. We spent more than 3 weeks exploring the country by car, much as we do in our RV, visiting small towns and out-of-the-way attractions. Before we went, I consulted my ever-growing Google map of things to see someday and noted that, if possible, we wanted to visit a place called Chernivet.
This little town in the Srednja Gora Mountains has, for generations, been a sheep herding center. It's also the home of a unique green cheese. Shepherds make the cheese in the spring and put it in a local cave to age. It ripens all summer while the sheep and their keepers are in the high mountain pastures. When cold weather returns, so do the sheep, and the cheese is brought out for winter eating. According to our sources, the cheese could be sampled in the local hotel dining room.
We arrived in Chernivet on a Sunday morning and soon discovered that the hotel, along with most of the other local businesses, was permanently closed. In that regard, it was like many of the small towns we visited in the Midwest and the south of the USA. The only store in town was closed, and the bar next door looked like an unlikely prospect for any satisfaction. As we took one last run through town, we noticed a group of old men sitting at an umbrella table on the sidewalk. Now, in Bulgaria, an umbrella table means a cafe or restaurant or coffee shop, so we pulled off the road for one last try. The small modern building turned out to be half grocery store, half restaurant, and surprisingly modern. Using Google Translate and my very few words of Bulgarian, I inquired about the cheese. The woman at the counter directed me to a cooler, offering two pieces of feta and something that looked like sliced Velveeta. Still determined, I tried again, and she waved me off as she went outside to serve her street-side customers. I sat down in the restaurant, determined at least to have some lunch.
Meanwhile, I had gone to the car to get something and was stopped on the street by a young man who asked in English if I needed some help. My mother called, he offered, and said you were looking for something. Inside, he told us there was not a lot on the menu. My mother's special soup, beans, and meatballs. I asked about the soup. Oh, it's delicious. It's made with milk and, rubbing his stomach while he thought for a minute, guts. I said I'd take the beans.
I opted for the soup, and we ordered the meatballs too. Why not? While the dinner was being prepared, I explained that we were looking for green cheese. Looking downcast, he said he had no idea where to find it. Then he brightened. Wait, though, let me ask. Out he went to the table of men and returned shortly with the news that after lunch he could take us to someone who made the cheese.
We piled into the car and drove a kilometer down the road where the cheesemaker's wife invited us into her orchard of a yard and brought out a tray of cheese of various ages, insisting that we sample each, and plying us with her homemade fruit liquor. It was an altogether satisfactory ending to a foray that at first looked doomed to failure. The moral of the story? Sometimes it takes a little bit of time for things to come together out here off the beaten path.
And that off the beaten path, as the Burkitts just showed us, can extend all the way to Bulgaria.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, that ends another episode of the RV Podcast. Be calm, everybody. This is going to pass. Meantime, you can start dreaming about the travel that you will be able to do once things get under control. But be safe. Wash your hands a lot and practice that social distancing. If you're out there in your RV, let us know where you are and how it's going, and stay in touch by social media or our YouTube channel. We'll have updates throughout the week. Till then, we'll see you next week on the RV Podcast.